It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Film Festival Radio is superstars.
Right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone. Happy Saturday to you. Happy weekend. It's spring. Oh, my goodness. And if you're from the South like me, you'll say it's spring. Anyway, the weather's warming up. But you know what? The weather is always pretty much warm here, so it just doesn't matter, just as long as it shows up on time. And we are here. We have arrived for spring. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. Here on our show, well, last Saturday, we did not have a new show because I was just tired. I'm sorry. I played hooky last Saturday and we just ran a rerun show because I was people, folks, everybody. I was just tired. Your girl was tired. I really was. So you have no idea how much it takes to put this show together with so many guests. So I just took a little break off there. But anyway, we're back. We got a brand new show. So let's talk about it here. Okay, we got guests. How many of you out there are fans? Now you're fans. You've been following NBC's new breakout hit reality show, Deal or No Deal Island, on NBC Monday nights, of course. Show of hands. Yes. Yes. You, her, him, them, us, me. Fans of the show. And we've had, how many guests from that show? I think we've had four contestants, counting this week. So one of our guests is Jordan Fowler, and she is one of the remaining contestants who's still battling it out with the briefcases. I mean, this show is a really cutthroat as far as, you know, it's like a masterful chess game or something. And these contestants are not for play here. A lot of money at stake. So anyway, Jordan Fowler, she will be our guest later in the show. She's proven to be not only gorgeous and smart, but she is no joke to play with about her money. So she's going to be joining us to talk about what it's been like competing on Deal or No Deal Island. So interesting chat there. So show of hands again. How many of you are really into the whole anime? You like genre anime? Anime? You? Her? I kind of sort of am into it. I like the artwork of it. I don't know if I've really gotten, you know, where I need the clothing. A lot of people have. Yeah. So I didn't know this. This past April 15th, not only was it National Tax Deadline Day, but April 15th was also National Anime Day. And what is that all about? Well, it's a day to celebrate this beautiful art form of anime and how it has really impacted our culture, pop culture, for today. So I have two guests who are the hosts of a new podcast, and the title of it is Crunchyroll Presents the Anime Effect. And what this podcast does, it spotlights how anime has influenced so much of our cultural landscape, from entertainment to sports, business, how we eat, how we dress, just all of that. So our guests will be Leah President and Lee Alec Mori. And they're just going to discuss how big a business anime has become. And it's huge. I had no idea it was that huge, but it is. Multi-billion dollar industry now. And we will also be talking with our good friend Chris Woolsey, who is the Senior Director of Communications for Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. And he will be here to tell us what's hot at the kiosk of Redbox. And also, you can, of course, get their app, Redbox. There's a lot that's hot for Redbox for this month of April here. Always something cool going on at that whole brand, though. So that's our lineup of guests. In our next segment, I've got to tell you about an upcoming film festival that will start next week, the 2024 Indie Vegas Film Festival. Tell you all about, they're having a big screening a week from today. I'll tell you more about that in our next segment. But before we get to our next segment, I also want to tell you about our upcoming future guest. We will be chatting in about 2 weeks or so with the one and only Vanessa Williams. And Vanessa has a new album that will be dropping next week. This is her first studio pop album in 15 years. Yes, that's a while. And so she will be joining us, like I said, in about 2 to 3 weeks from now. And we're getting the exact date, but she's out of the country right now promoting the new album. And it's always fun talking to Vanessa. I've been talking to her for many years, and she's always a delight to talk with. So looking forward to that as well. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll be talking about films, especially films that have been shot here in Las Vegas. And I'll tell you some more details about the upcoming 2024 Indie Vegas Film Festival. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere unless you're going to go get something to drink or some cookies or popcorn to snack on here. That's what I'm going to do. So we'll be right back. Hold on. Back in 60 seconds. Okay, we are back from our break here. And want to remind you that you're listening to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone, here. And as promised, I am going to give you some more details about this upcoming film festival that will take place right here in our wonderful, beautiful, beloved city. And I do plan on having a spokesperson from the festival for next week's show. Okay, the 2024 Indie Vegas Film Festival will be taking place starting April 25th through the 29th. And they're going to have a big screening a week from today. It is at 8 p.m., and there's going to be an after party as well. And so the screening will take place at the Orleans Hotel in the Century 18 and XD Theater. Yeah, the beautiful Orleans Theater Casino and all of that will be right there. So this film that they will be premiering is titled American Pot Story Oaksterdam. Yes, this film has already won several awards at different film festivals throughout the country. So it will be making its Vegas premiere next Saturday evening, again at 8 p.m. at the Century 18 and XD Theater in the Orleans Hotel and Casino. So what is this movie about? The title, again, is American Pot Story Oaksterdam. And if you'd like to get even more details about this film, they have their own website, AmericanPotStory.com. AmericanPotStory.com. Go check it out. And even more so, get your tickets for the festival as well if you want to go to this screening. I'll be there. You can meet me, finally. Yes. Well, that's a big deal, of course. No. But anyway, what is the film about? Well, it is the unknown story of how just a handful of committed people, they're real underdogs, believed in what they were, championing. Get that word right. They believed in what they were championing about. They were real underdogs, and they risked everything to ignite what has now become a worldwide revolution in cannabis policies. Yes, that's it. So next time you're at a dispensary, know that if you've seen this film first, again, it's called American Pot Story Oaksterdam, you will definitely appreciate the freedom that you have to enjoy visiting and purchasing at dispensaries. So this film took over a decade to get done here. So we plan on speaking with someone from the film as well. I don't know if it'll be the director or some of the people who are seen on camera in the film, but we're working on it here. So again, this groundbreaking film really shows the power of the activist out here. So no matter what your cause is, if you are a peaceful activist, mind you, not a violent activist, changes can come and things can be rectified and made. Changes can be made on just about anything that kind of sort of makes sense here. So that's kind of, you know, what this film is about, the power of the activist who really believed in a cause and they made a difference. So I am very happy to know that this film is premiering here in Vegas. And I am very excited to be able to talk to one of the spokespeople from the film next Saturday. So, okay, that brings us that. So once again, now, say it again. Okay. The film festival, it will start on the 25th. Want to get your pen and paper, write this down, get it all right. And it's the 2024 Indie Vegas Film Festival. And it again starts April 25th through the 29th. And I would love for you to meet me there along with the rest of the people who are going to be there, the film festival organizers and all of their guests. And the website again is IndieVegasFilmFestival.com. And there you can find your information on tickets and times, dates, locations, just everything. And of course, the list of films that will be screened during that set of days that the film festival will be taking place. And again, don't forget, if you want to go to the screening next Saturday night for American Pot Story Oaksterdam, go to their website, AmericanPotStory.com, and it'll just give you some details about what the film is about. Gives you a preview, and you can get your tickets, of course, at IndieVegasFilmFestival.com's website there. Okay, are we caught up? Yes, we are caught up on that. So to further speak of films, I thought this was really interesting. Hold on, let me get to the right page here. I thought this was real interesting. You know what? I need to first. I forgot a page, people. Hold on. This week's. Let me open this up. Da 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 da. Nah, that's not it. Hold on, leaving Las Vegas. I bet that will find it. Leaving Las Vegas, best movies ranked. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. Unknown Origins. Okay, so now you've got all of the details on, okay, take five. We're going to start right here. Take five. Okay, now that you've got all of the information that you need about the upcoming film festival, and again, if you need to write us info@filmfestivalradio.com, we will be more than happy to forward you all of that information that I just said. Actually, we'll condense it down, but you can write us. Okay, to further speak of films, I thought this was a lot of fun. This is just some cool, fun information here. According to the website, okay, take two. Okay, now that you've got all of that information down, I thought this was a lot of fun. This is just some fun information to know about here. So according to the website, Online Betting Guide, OLBG.com is for short here. This is really cool stuff. They have gotten, all of their smart people have gotten together, and they have compiled a list of the coolest movies that have been shot and filmed here in Las Vegas. Yeah, let's talk about it here. Whether it's a high-stakes casino game or a movie with the morning hangover, you know what that's, the hangover, of course. This is just a fun list. There are just great movies that have been shot right here in Vegas among the neon bright lights, the casinos of Vegas. So, with some are better than others as far as ranks, but the films are all fun. They're highly acclaimed. I mean, very highly acclaimed, whether they were box office hits or not. But again, according to the website and the team of people at Online Betting Guide, OLBG.com, what they have done is that they have figured out which movies that were shot in Vegas are the most highly rated. And they did that by using the IMDb ratings, you know, IMDb.com. They use a lot of their information. And so they've compiled this very cool list of six, is it six films? Eight, I'm wrong. It's eight films. So their research has revealed the highest rated movies that were shot in Vegas, ranging from Ocean's 11 to The Hangover. And so let's go to their list without any further delay. These are the 8 most popular movies that were shot in Vegas and ranked them according to the IMDb ratings. Okay, so let's go to the list right now. This is fun. This is some good trivia stuff. For those of you who do entertainment trivia. Okay, here it is. So according to onlinebettingguide.com, OLBG again.com, these are the top ranked 8 movies that were shot in Vegas. Number 8 is Midnight Run, which was shot in 1988. Number 7 is Leaving Las Vegas. That was done in 1995. Number 6 is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That was done in 1998. Number 6 is Ocean's 11, done in 2001. The Hangover. Oh, God, that was number 5. That was done in 2009. I thought that would be, I'm surprised that it's not number 1. The third one is Rain Man, which was done in 1988. Number 2 is Casino. Oh, my God, that is, let's take a pause. Take a breath here. Casino. People, Casino is probably my favorite movie about Las Vegas. It just is. De Niro, Sharon Stone. Oh, my God, Sharon Stone just nailed it. I'll talk the rest of the hour about Casino. Let me just be quiet. Okay. Number 2 is Casino, which was shot in 1995 here. And the number 1 ranked most popular film that was shot in Vegas, according to the highest ranked, I should say, according to online betting, that website, OLBG. According to them, the number 1 movie is The Godfather Part 2, which was shot here in 1974. Yeah. Isn't that something? Do you agree with this list? Yes? No? No? Okay. Well, I agree with most of it, but the main thing is Vegas has had a lot of fun movies shot here, and you know there's even more to come. So, again, you can go to the website, olbg.com, and look at exactly how they compiled and ranked this list of films that were shot here in Vegas, and send them an email if you don't agree with them. I mean, they don't mind that. Yeah, let me tell you this real fast. Online Betting Guide is the most knowledgeable sports betting community in the world, and they have over 2 million online. Let me tell you this really fast. Take 3. Okay, before we shut out here, let me tell you this really quickly. Online Betting Guide is the most knowledgeable sports betting community in the world, and they are trusted by over 2 million users. Again, olbg.com, so you can find all of their information right there. Okay, we're going to take a quick break again, and when we return, we'll be chatting with our first guest, Chris Woolsey, from our favorite brand there, Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. So he'll be telling us what's hot at Redbox for the month of April. So we'll be right back. All right, listeners, spring is in the air. It smells good. It's sunny. At least I hope it smells good. It smells good in my place. But anyway, it's going to really smell good because we have our friend. He is the Sultan of Swag and everything there is to know about Redbox, Crackle.com, Popcorn Flicks, Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. And he is Chris Woolsey. He is the Senior Director of Communications for Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. And he's going to tell us what is hot at Redbox for April, Chris?
So much good stuff. And thank you for having me back, Janice. Yeah, Redbox, we have a ton of great stuff. I have to say, this movie took me a minute to get to. People kept telling me about it and telling me about it. And for whatever reason, I just had other things I was watching. And then my wife pinned me down and was like, we're going to watch this tonight. And oh my gosh, what a treasure. That is The Hunt for the Wilder People.
What?
I don't know if you've seen this one, but it's a New Zealand film. And it was written by Taika Waititi, who has become quite the rage.
Yeah.
Under, what is it? Under the Dark Flag, the pirate series.
Yes.
He created that. And Jojo Rabbit was his. And this, it really has that like kind of quirky New Zealand, Australian, let's say Oceania,
mm-hmm.
sense of humor. They definitely have a different sense, yeah. of humor, but it's starring one of my favorite actors, Sam Neill.
Oh, yes.
And he plays this kind of crotchety old curmudgeon who has a farm out in the hinterlands of New Zealand. His wife is this lovely woman who could not be more different than he is. She's this exuberant, enthusiastic, lovely woman who wants desperately to foster a child. There's nothing Sam Neill wants less than that, but she wins out, and foster care services drops this troubled young man onto their lap, and she could not be more excited. She dotes all over this young man. Unfortunately, she passes away in the first week, and poor Sam Neill's character is now stuck with this kid that he has no idea what to do with. And through a series of misadventures, he ends up going on an incredible adventure with this young man. I'm not going to say anything else because I don't want to spoil it, but oh my gosh, keep a box of Kleenex because you are going to need it.
Oh.
But it is also filled with laughter. It's very funny, but heartwarming. I cannot say enough good things about Hunt for the Wilder People.
The Hunt for the Wilder People. Okay, so it's kind of Aussie, mostly Aussie, New Zealander, not quite Canadian, of course, but they find the audience.
Yep, it is.
Okay.
Quirky.
Okay, we'll remember
that. You're going to love it.
I'm going to love it. Okay, and so who else is bringing for spring in Redbox?
So I told you we had a lot of caper content across the services. And we've got a really fun one. If you like Guy Ritchie movies, things like Stalking Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh, I love Guy Ritchie.
Snatch, and those kind of, you know, really witty banter.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great one called London's Finest. And this is about a small-time drug dealer who gets into huge trouble with corrupt police officers in East London. Really great cast. Nathaniel Wiseman from a British series called Hard Tide, and Aaron Aldridge from Guardians, Ian Frost from the James Bond movie Skyfall, which is my favorite film of all time.
Thank you. Yes.
But it's very fun, very like over-the-top characters. It's just, again, if you like the movie Snatch, which I was a huge fan of,
me too.
This is right down your alley. London's Finest.
Guy Ritchie does such a good job with those genre type films. He just does.
Oh my gosh. Yes, he does. He's amazing.
Does. Glad to know you love Skyfall as much as I do. Yes.
Oh, such a great film.
God, the themes, the opening song, just everything about it. Oh,
everything.
Everything.
Yep.
Everything. So, okay. Who else is red hot in April for Redbox?
Well, we've got a really great, heartwarming biopic. So this is a movie called Curtis, and it's about a former basketball star who is battling mental illness and living on the streets of Detroit. And he crosses paths with a young teenage boy who ends up choosing to help Curtis, the main character, look for his lost high school championship ring. Somehow in his journey as an unhoused person, he's lost this high school ring, and he's at one point, you know, he had a very bright future and was headed for the NBA until circumstances derailed his journey. And this young boy is helping him try to reconnect with his past and hopefully improve his future by finding this high school ring. It's really a beautiful movie. Brian Baughman from Electric Easy, Alex Henderson from the movie Creed, which I loved, and Dwight Henry from 12 Years a Slave.
Oh,
so it's a phenomenal cast.
Very good cast. Very strong cast. What a nice storyline.
It's just got a great message. And yeah, I loved it.
Curtis, just one word. We can't forget Curtis. Curtis. Okay. Okay. And one more for Redbox.
One more. I'm going to say, okay, this is one that I'll bet nobody has seen or heard of. And when I watched it, this was actually a friend of mine at Crackle, saw this movie at a film festival and made it his personal mission to bring this movie to Crackle. It won a ton of awards. It's a South African film, and it's the true story. It takes place during early in the apartheid history. Mm-hmm. So this is like turn of the century, 1900s. And it's the true story. This apartheid outlaw who basically took from the rich and gave to the poor around him. He was kind of a Robin Hood character. It is phenomenal. This is a Crackle original, and it's called Sew the Winter to My Skin.
Whoa, what a title. Oh my goodness.
Yep. It's starring Dave Walpole from Immortal and Peter Kurth from A Thin Line, Candace McClure from Battlestar Galactica. I am a huge period piece person, and I have to tell you, this is one of the best period pieces I've seen in the last few years.
Oh my goodness. Well, shout out to your coworker for recognizing the beauty and the talent in this film. Yeah.
Yeah. If he had not championed this, I don't think it would have happened. So it's great.
That's great. Okay. So that's one of you said is a Crackle original, not a Crackle, Redbox original.
I'm sorry. Yes, it is on. Yeah, it's on Redbox, but it was originally a Crackle original. We let Redbox use it as well.
Okay. Kind of borrow from each other there. Well, okay. So I've got the list and I'm going to check it twice because I take a lot of your suggestions. I view so many of them and I just love it. And I pass them on to my friends and all that kind of stuff. But
we appreciate the strategic air support from Janice Malone.
Oh, yeah. I just love it because you guys have such a huge library of just so much. And so we kind of need you as like the GPS, just like, okay, you could steer to the left, you know, recalibrate to the right. It's just real, very helpful. It really is. So
what I'm here for, I love doing it.
Okay, well, we're going to see you next week on the next edition of our chat, and we'll be focusing next week on popcorn flicks. So thank you for the update.
Can't wait.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
Thanks so much, Janice.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we are back here for our next guest here. Thank you so much, Chris Woolsey there. Okay, let's get it on with our two guests here. As I said at the top of the show, April 15th was National Anime Day, which is something I did not know existed. So anime, of course, celebrates the art form of anime, the whole genre, and how it is really has made a big impact on pop culture. So we have people like actor, star, superstar, Michael B. Jordan has used anime, the fighting techniques during the Creed III movie, which he directed. Hip-hop star Megan Thee Stallion often makes references to anime with some of her songs, and she often has some of her stage outfits based on some of her favorite anime characters. So that brings me to our two guests that we're about to talk to here. They are the host of a new podcast. The title of it is Crunchyroll Presents the Anime Effect, which is already airing right now as we speak. And my two guests are Leah President and Lee Alec Murray, and they know everything there is to know about the world of anime. And they're going to tell us about their new podcast, as well as what a big business, a multi-billion dollar industry that anime has become. So without any further delay, we're going to talk to my two guests here. So let's take a listen to Leah and Lee Alec about their new podcast. So let's take a listen right now. I should say good morning to both of you. And we are speaking with the hosts of the new Crunchyroll podcast, The Anime Effect. So hello, Leah. And is it Lee Alec? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Okay, I got it right. Yes. Okay. So again, you both are the host of this new podcast, The Anime Effect. Obviously, it's about the world of anime, but give us more details about what this podcast is specifically all about.
So we want to make sure that we're not only bringing you what happens in anime and, you know, the anime news, but we also want to make a connection or a through line to how anime is in other mediums as well, whether it be, you know, film or sports or what have you. And we also want to make sure that, you know, we're answering, you know, any of your burning questions. We want to give you recommendations. We want to make you feel welcome in the world of anime. And we do it by, you know, sitting on, you know, our big orange crunchy roll couch, as we say. So we just want you to come and hang out with us and, you know, really meet you where you are as, you know, an anime fan, whether you're just starting or you're diehard.
And so the podcast is running and airing right this minute, or is it launching later on, or when?
We are currently airing. We actually had an episode drop this morning. So you can listen or watch Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect anywhere you listen to your podcast, on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel or on the Crunchyroll platform.
Okay, it just seems as if the whole anime culture has just exploded in America. What is it about anime that you guys think that people are just catching on? And is it for people of all ages now, or what?
Oh, yeah. So I think the reason that anime is really connecting with people is, one, the community. I think anime fans have one of the most, like, welcoming, warm communities. And, you know, whether you kind of vaguely know about anime or you're a lifelong fan, I think a lot of people, you know, can find friends there and find, you know, people to talk about or talk with about your favorite shows. But yeah, I think anime itself is really growing out of a niche. It is no longer, you know, something that is, like, we like to say on our show that the geeks are finally winning, the nerds are finally winning. And so what I love about anime is that it's kind of like no longer becoming, or it's no longer a niche, and it's becoming something that everybody can connect to. There's a genre for everybody. Just like there is in film, you know, whether you like action or romance or adventure, anime itself is more of a medium for telling stories than it is a genre in itself. So I think people are finding, you know, this new way to tell these stories, really, like, it's hitting home with them.
Tell us about how anime is now even affecting fashion and how a lot of celebrities are using it in fashion, and especially designers and such.
Oh, that's been something that's kind of been creeping into fashion culture little by little. And now it's at such an apex. So you look at Michael B. Jordan. He had that Coach Naruto collection, which was great. I was able to see that firsthand when it debuted at Anime Expo a couple of years ago. You have major artists like Pharrell, who has always been influenced by the culture, who is now also running men's design at Louis Vuitton. A lot of his stuff has always been inspired by, you know, anime or animation. You know, Meg Thee Stallion, who is, you know, been someone that has been, you know, such an anime advocate, and she does a ton of outfits and cosplay gear that is specifically geared towards anime. Like when she was at the Anime Awards, one of her outfit when she was presenting was based off of an anime called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So it's been something that is making its way into fashion culture for a really long time, but I think now is probably where it's been kind of hitting the hardest.
I may be already too late, but if I'm not, I'm looking for anime desserts and foods and restaurants. Is that already going on, or what?
Oh yeah, that's something that is, you know, it's a big thing in Japan. Is they have like little pop-up shops or pop-up restaurants that are based or themed around anime. As we're, you know, as the medium has been evolving, there's even anime that is specifically about food or cooking. And a lot of those do spin off and have, you know, cookbooks or people need to put recipes together based off of that. I know that's something that, you know, Babish and his crew do a lot, is that they do a lot of recreations of anime food. So it's definitely, you know, you can definitely find it.
Well, as we know, anime exploded originally in Japan. Do you guys plan on going over to Japan and exploring, you know, how it's always been so big there or what?
Oh, yeah. Leah has actually been to Japan. So if you want to share your experience.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely massive. Like we're getting anime music played in the streets. It's great. But, you know, the experience of, you know, being in Japan and being around, you know, anime has been, it was probably like, when you talk about life highlights, it's great. Because it's, you see it everywhere from, you know, I mentioned restaurants earlier. I was kind of walking around and ran into an Astro Boy pop-up shop, and they were selling some really cool stuff. And, you know, everybody is really like, anime is just a part of the culture there. So no matter where you go or where you are, you can always see some kind of reference, or you can get some kind of, you know, dessert or something that's inspired by anime, or you're going to an anime like pop-up shop. So it's really cool to be there and actually see how big it could potentially be for us as well.
And one thing that's great about Crunchyroll is it kind of brings that experience over here to the West. If you're wanting to know what anime is about, it just keeps growing bigger and bigger, and you can find, you know, anything you want to watch on Crunchyroll, kind of interact with it.
Well, to further speak of finding what you want, tell everybody how, as far as social media, how can they tune in to say hello and tell you how they like the podcast? What do they need to do?
Oh, we love to interact with our fans. We actually have a whole mailbag segment on The Anime Effect where we answer your questions, we give recommendations, and, you know, there's no dumb answers here. We like to meet anybody where they're at with their journey with anime, whether you're, you know, a lifelong diehard fan or you're just wanting to see what it's about. We'll welcome you into our space and interact with you and answer your burning questions. We want to be able to relate anime to things you're already seeing in pop culture. So with new movies that come out, we'll give you recommendations based on that, because there's so many different genres of anime that it can be kind of intimidating to get into this new kind of fandom space. And so we want to meet fans where they're at and show them, you know, how this awesome community can welcome them with open arms.
And so what is that social media handle for all of these curious anime fans out here?
You can find us pretty much anywhere at Crunchyroll. So X or Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, just look for Crunchyroll and there we are.
There you are. Voila, just like that. Well, I want to thank both of you, Leah and Alec, for giving us some more insight, as if we didn't already know, at least I didn't know as much, about the world of anime. And I understand April 15th is National Anime Day. So I don't know what I'll wear, but I'll celebrate in honor of you two and your new show.
Yeah, we're hoping to take over Tax Day and make Anime Day the highlight this year. Yeah. So
it's Tax Day as well. Oh, my God. But anyway, thank you to both of you. And congratulations on the launch of the podcast. And have a great weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Janice, thanks for having us, so Janice. Much.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Okay, we're back here with more Film Festival Radio Show. Are you having a good Saturday? I hope you are. And hopefully you listen to our guests, you know, some of them. I would say most of our guests are fun to listen to. Okay, to further speak of guests, our next guest, you've seen her, as I said earlier in the show. If you are a fan of this new NBC hit show, Deal or No Deal Island, you have definitely seen contestant Jordan Fowler. She is, Jordan is a gorgeous young lady, but when it comes to winning that money, she is not to be played with. She's serious about it. Now, she has had no practical survival skills, according to her. I mean, she's just guided by her Jamaican roots there. She's a is natively from Jamaica. And she's going for it. She has a very healthy lifestyle. She's into fitness and, you know, looking great, as we can all see. And so she's going to share with us, how does she get on Deal or No Deal Island? She and her husband live in Nashville. And, you know, Nashville is a fun, hip city, and it's, you know, a lot more calmer than most cities. You know, I lived there for many years. Beautiful city there. And so that's where Jordan now lives, but she's originally from the Bay Area. So I'm going to let her tell her own story. So I had the opportunity to chat with her, actually, was that Thursday? I think it was Thursday. Yeah. So we chatted, we had a lot of laughs. So let's listen to my guest, Jordan Fowler from Deal or No Deal Island. So let's roll it and let's do it right now. Well, okay. You're still on. You're still there, Deal or No Deal Island. Are you surprised that you're still, you survived, what is that, episode 7?
You know, I can't believe it. Yeah, it's top 7. Look at us go. It's very easy to doubt yourself throughout this entire process. But, you know, I think I started to gain more confidence as time went on. At the beginning, I was like, just don't be the first one eliminated. And then once I got through that, I was like, all right, let's actually like do our best to win this thing. So I've had to, you know, bite my tongue and stay out of the drama when possible. But I am very proud of myself for making it this far.
Well, everyone did the paddleboard rentals competition thing. What was the most challenging part of that for you?
You know, with the paddle boards, I was paired with Alyssa and we had a great personal relationship on the show. And so it was nice to have a partner that I felt very confident in. And I used to do crew back in my high school days. So I feel like I was channeling my mini rowing stint that I had for a minute. But I think the hardest part was actually deciding whether or not to keep our cases. And I felt pretty confident with two cases that were both 7 figures. Alyssa felt otherwise. And, you know, she felt the most vulnerable. So we ended up going back out there. So I think the hardest part was actually the mental game for us in that particular excursion, in deciding whether or not to keep the cases or go back out there.
And what part of the competition, as I said, you guys have done episode 7. Prior to episode 7, was there any other episode that was proved to be maybe more easier or more challenging for you?
Snakes were definitely difficult. And when Dawson tapped out, I knew I just had to take one for the team and make it happen for us. It's funny, we actually get paired quite a bit and it's all random to be partners. So we kind of got to know each other and we've needed to realize like when it's time for one person to step up versus the other. And in that particular challenge with the snakes, Dawson just couldn't do it. So that was mentally very tough for me. It seems so outside of any, you know, natural reaction to stick your hand in a cage of snakes, but there's too much on the line to not put it all out there. And I knew I would regret if I didn't just, you know, stick my hand in and just deal with the blood after.
Oh, goodness.
So that one was one that was pretty mentally tough. And then I'd say, I mean, I clearly was not the best boat driver in the world. I'm joking around with my friends. I'm like, I prefer other people to drive the boats that I had on. So that one was challenging. But the one I think I'm also most proud of up until this point is climbing the tree. I had never climbed a tree before. And I brought back 7 arrows and I was the first girl to come back. And I was making my way up that tree. So I'm proud of myself in that particular excursion as well.
Okay, so let's back up. We have had, you're the third contestant we've had from Deal or No Deal Island. We've had Claudia Jordan, we had Kim on. And so do you, any of the contestants that have been eliminated, do you guys stay in touch with each other or what?
Gosh, Claudia and Kim, two tough acts to follow. You know, we do, but I wouldn't say everything is super smooth sailing these days. You know, there was a lot of money on the line in this show, and that brings out, you know, the best and the worst of people. And it's one thing to live it. It's another to then watch it back. So I wouldn't say there's one group text where everybody is, you know, cheering each other on. I think there are multiple group texts. People have been in, you know, included, kicked out, et cetera. Like, it's a lot to still process for all of us. And we all did take it so seriously that a lot of people are still feeling the ramifications of the game today.
Man, everybody was serious, but it's serious money. It's a lot of money at stake. Have you thought
exactly?
Well, have you?
And I respect that. Like, we were all really in it, which is good, but it's hard to come out of that. And then you watch it again and it puts you right back to the banker's island when, you know, you remember certain triggers and things happening. And now you're hearing interviews. Like, we didn't know what people were saying to the camera. And so now it's just a totally different ballgame. You hear, you know, did the people that you have an alliance with actually, you know, talk crap about you in their interviews? So I would say things are still, you know, as spicy as they are on the episode, things are still spicy in the group texts among some of us today.
So you are originally from the beautiful Bay Area. How did you end up on this show? I mean, you just don't seem like you would be one of those survivalist competitive people. How did you get on this show?
That's exactly why I needed to do this, though. You know, I've always believed in the power of competition game shows to, like, be a transformative experience. I do think reality TV gets a bad rap these days, but I think in some instances, you get out of it what you put into it. And I was at a stage in my life where it felt like so many things were out of my control that I was so ready to do something totally different, reconnect with myself, you know, mentally, spiritually, physically, and put myself out there and finally feel like I'm in control of the game that I was playing. Because in life, you're dealt, you know, a deck of cards and you put your best foot forward. But I feel like in these game shows, you really have a fresh slate to be who you want to be, create the connections that you desire in order to hopefully end up on top. So, you know, I saw an ad on TikTok, actually, a casting call, and I ended up going through the motions, and I wanted it so badly. Like, just getting on the show to me was an accomplishment in and of itself, which is why once I got there, I'm like, well, shoot, we can't stop there. We need to, like, put it all forward. Like, remember how badly I wanted this. I remember I hadn't heard back from casting for a while, and I was on a walk, and I, like, broke down, and I was like, I wanted it so badly. And then I ended up hearing back. So it's been a roller coaster of a journey just to even get to the island. It was quite the process.
Well, did you have to, or any of you contestants, I mean, did you have to go through some training as far as working out before the cameras started rolling? Or did they tell you, all of you, to do that, or what?
Well, because it's the first season of the show, you are going into things a little bit blind and you don't know what to expect. And so to put my best game forward, I got myself, you know, I played out different scenarios with my husband. It was so funny. I was like, if they were to offer me X amount of money to leave, do I take it or do I not? And then interestingly enough, in that tree excursion, I left the personal offer of 20K in the tree because I remember my husband was like, you're in it for the long-term game. Don't have any reason to have a target on your back. And I remember that conversation. Or with the physical challenges, I have always been active and I truly believe in, you know, working out and being active, but I took it totally up a notch. We were doing trail runs. I don't love swimming, but I was at the pool. So I did everything I could to be in control. I wouldn't say they necessarily briefed us or told us what to expect, but I wanted to be prepared for any scenario that was going to present itself.
Well, hey, you're still here. And
so far, so good.
You are still here. So, okay. Have you and your husband thought about what you're going to do if you win the grand prize or what?
It's so wild. You know, he was up to date on the whole audition process, me going on the show. But then once I was there, I was like, this is my game. We obviously don't have connection to the outside world. I didn't have my cell phone. We all wrapped like the final episode everybody is present for. And we wrapped and I called him. It was super late. And he was like, I hope you had fun. And we ended up having a wedding that weekend and we went on with our lives. Like, it's been just such balance to live this life with all my castmates, but then also no one in the outside world can know the results or what happened or any of the behind the scenes. So I feel like I'm living a bit of a double life because a lot of, you know, people who weren't there don't know the outcome. But he and I did talk about the potential and what our life could look like if we were you know, if I were to be successful on the show. And for me, it was just going to be about family. And that was so obvious, full stop, between, you know, my mom's health situation, my dad losing his job. Right before I went on the show, I had a miscarriage. There were just a lot of elements of life that financial support could be really beneficial for. And so that's what we were going to double down if I were to be lucky enough to come home with any money.
Oh, that's wonderful. Family first, as always. So, okay, finally here, has this competition and being on this show, has this caused you to want to seek more as far as reality television for yourself?
I have been so pleasantly surprised by this entire experience. As I mentioned, I do think reality TV gets a bad rap, and my experience could not have been more positive. I truly think that time to yourself away from the outside world to get a fresh slate, to create the narrative that you want to create, has just been so mentally beneficial for me that I'm craving the next opportunity. I can't wait for what that could look like and what that could be. But I am so open to the possibilities and to, you know, feel like I'm part of this reality TV competition network of people that have gone through a similar experience is so cool. And on social media, folks are connecting with each other and following each other. And these are people that I've looked up to ever since watching these shows. So to now be included in that and even just a small way has meant so much. So I'm excited for what's to come. I will not turn down any opportunities. I think you're seeing one way that I've played a game on Deal or No Deal Island, but goodness, I have many other strategies at my belt that I'd love to put into practice if someone will have me.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. I'm sure. Any people around Nashville recognizing you from the show yet?
A few here and there, which has been so wild. It's amazing to see people rally and support the show. And I think it speaks to the awesome format and, you know, the nostalgia of the game of Deal or No Deal that so many of us grew up and, you know, watch with our families. So it's amazing to be part of the franchise. And when people recognize me, it still catches me off guard. I'm like, how do I know you? They're like, we know you from the show. I was like, oh my gosh, this is real. It's so wild. I'm very honored.
Oh, I bet it's a lot of fun. And lastly, how can people reach out to you on social media?
All my Instagram and TikTok and Facebook channels are all / it's me, Jofo, J-O-F-O.
Okay.
So give me a follow and I'd love to connect with people there.
Okay. Well, I know I will be on that later on today. I'll sign up and join you and follow you on Instagram. And I'm not too good with TikTok, but I do a lot of Instagram there. But
that's okay. We'll do Instagram.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you so much. We have really enjoyed you on the show, along with the rest of them, Jordan. And so we know a little bit more about you. We're going to be cheering you on.
Thank you. Next week is sure to be a
okay. I know you can't tell us, but we will tune in to find out what happens on Deal or No Deal Island. So again, thank you so much for the chat.
Of course. You have a lovely day.
Okay. You do the same then. Take care then. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jordan Fowler. She's still in the running on Deal or No Deal Island. Make sure you tune in on Monday night on NBC to cheer her on. I hope she comes away as the winner. You know, again, we've had several of the contestants on the show, and I like them all. I really do. But Jordan is, you know, I guess because we have that Nashville connection. But anyway, make sure you tune in Monday night to cheer everybody on, actually. So that's going to do it for this edition of the show. Did you enjoy our guest? I hope you did. Make sure that you check out the upcoming 2024 Indie Vegas Film Festival that starts on the 25th through the 29th. And you can go to their website to get all of the details about the locations, the screenings, you know, the whole thing that websites do for film festivals and other events. So they will be there waiting for you. So that's going to do it. Wrap it up for this edition of the show. And we will see everybody this time next week on another edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Have a great rest of the weekend. We'll see you next Saturday. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com. Ooh,
fall.